I want to just challenge you for a minute here tonight. During the offering here, I just want to challenge you in this. You know, the scripture talks about as we give to the Lord, God multiplies it back to us again. It says in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, cast your bread on the water, for you will find it after many days. Everyone say, cast your bread, for you will find it. Amen. And so as soon as we begin to start to have a mindset that God really wants us to not only cast our bread, but he wants us to find it. Come on, right? And I believe this. I'm more convinced of this than I ever have been in my life, that God wants to multiply back to people. I maybe shared this last year, but if I didn't, I'm sharing it now. Is that many people don't realize that during every great revival that's ever happened, the greatest inventions always come out. The greatest music and the greatest inventions. In the 1500s, when Martin Luther had the Great Reformation, that's when the printing press came along. Come on, right? In the 1700s, we saw several different great inventions take place. In the early 1900s, it was the same thing. In the 1950s, we saw things like the television and various different other things that took place. In the 1990s, when the revivals were breaking out in Pensacola and in Lakeland and in Toronto, we saw the internet came just to full flourishion. You know, before then, there was no such thing as the internet. Come on, right? Now we there's a day we can't go without it, you know, and just think, I mean, what if God was to bless you with a powerful invention? Come on, right? What if God was to bless you with it? What if God was to give you a dream of something or whatever it might be? I think I shared here last year, the guy who invented the a baby diaper changing station. You ever seen that in the bathroom in Walmart or whatever? That was given to him in a vision in a Holy Ghost church in Minnesota. Just 20 some years ago. This guy had a vision. He was praying in the altar and said, Lord, I want to propagate the kingdom. Come on. God gave him that invention. Come on, somebody. There's a pastor I know down in South Africa. And he went and God just began to speak to him about starting businesses up within the church to support the church. No one had ever even heard of that before. And he had this small church. They didn't even have 200 people. And he said, we just went and we started these businesses, about 3-4 businesses in the church to finance the ministry. Come on, somebody. And as he began to do that, the money began to just pour into the church so much so that he ended up buying the biggest mall in all of South Africa. Come on. He's now the head of TBN for South Africa. You know, there's a guy I know that went to Rhema. He actually spoke when Keisha and I went to Rhema. And he's in Kansas City. He was an inner city church of 50 people. 50. And he said, Lord, we need to do something different. And so he began to start to pray, and then he started to start businesses within the church. And so much resources came in that he was literally seeing millions of dollars a year pour into the church, and they could pour it back into the community, and they were feeding people and all kinds of stuff. Now it's the biggest church in all of Kansas City, and they bought actually bought 2 malls cash. Come on, somebody. Amen. Listen, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Listen, the Mormons are ahead of us with this. We got to catch up. The Mormons are very smart. I don't agree with them doctrinally, but I'll tell you what, they're smart. Some of you in your pocket, you're supporting the Mormon church every month with the American Express card. Well, it got quiet in here when you said that. That's what it is. It's only for Mormonism. How many of you ever gone to Taco Bell? Raise your hand. Ah, that's supporting Mormonism. Have you ever gone to Kentucky Fried Chicken? Raise your hand. That's just for Mormonism. That's the only purpose is Mormonism. Marriott Hotel. That's all it is. All Marriott hotels is just supporting Mormonism. Why? Because they started to think differently about 40 years ago. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor. Say, please think differently. Come on. Amen. We have to renew our minds, church. We have to come out of a poverty mindset. And we have to start to think in terms of prosperity. The Super Bowl was just, whatever, 3-4 months ago. And at the Super Bowl, the Mormon church bought 10 TV slots cash from the American Express card. Here, 10. And they cost $3.5 million a piece. No problem. $35 million, just like that. And they were giving away millions of the Book of Mormon to promote it. Come on, church, we got to wake up. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, please wake up. The church has got to wake up. We have to have a prosperity blessing mindset. Come on, amen. We can't have a poverty mindset. Come on, put your hand on your neighbor's forehead. Say, Lord, change this thing, please. Some ladies are slapping their husbands now. You can't knock it in his head, sweetheart, all right? But I'm telling you, I believe this, that God wants to, in this day and this hour that we live, God wants to bless people. He wants to prosper people for the propagation of the gospel like never before. So, all right. So tonight, ushers, if you guys are ready, if you want to jump up and if you want to grab the offering envelopes first, just grab those offering envelopes. If you need an offering envelope, just make out a check to New Life Church. New Life Church. If you need an offering envelope, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand if you need an offering envelope. We'll get you one. And you want me to just keep going? Is that all right? Yeah. Okay. So if you need a check, if you need an offering envelope, just grab your neighbor's checkbook. You just write out your neighbor's check. How about that? There we go. I keep stumbling over this, all right? Boy, people be generous then. Well, I think you should put a couple more zeros on that. Wouldn't that be kind of fun one day, huh? Oh, man. That would be a shocker, huh? Okay. Father, we thank you tonight for the ability to give. And, Lord, we sow as you taught us in your word. Lord, we cast our bread on the water, for we believe that we will find it, just like you said, after many days. And Lord, I pray, even now tonight in this room, Lord, I pray for inventions, and I pray for songs to be written. I just prophesy that inventions will take place from people that are here tonight. Some of you, you're going to have a dream, and God's going to give you an invention, and you're going to be so blessed. You're going to be able to bless so many people. And some of you musicians, you're going to be given songs to write, and God's going to promote you and bless you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, go ahead, ushers. You can receive the offering. As they're doing so, I shared last night about we have what we call Revival Message of the Month Partnership, which is how we reach these orphans that we minister to every single month. We minister to them, every day we minister to them, but we sow into them every single month. And we have 281 orphans in Uganda. We have our own orphanage there. And so we have all of these kids from 3 years of age all the way till about 17. And many of these kids are street children. Their parents are dead from AIDS. And they just have no other alternative. There's no government program. There's no money. There's no cousins. There's no aunts and uncles that can help them. And so they're literally on survival mode. And so we went there about 5 weeks ago or so, and we opened our orphanage. We've been raising money for it. And so we opened it. We have the building, everything. And we're feeding these kids 2 hot meals a day. We're giving them a bed. We're giving them free education. We're also giving them a spirit-filled church. So if you got one of these and you filled it out, you can leave it with me at the book table. If you did not, raise your hand. If you want one, you can have one. And otherwise, we'll just... Oh, okay. Sure. I'll get you one. Anyone else, if you want one, just flag me down. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but it's not for me anyway. It's for the kids. So, and then it just comes out every month, I think, at the end of the month. And then we just email you a... what we call Revival Message of the Month message from somewhere in the world. All right. Last 2 things. If you haven't checked our book table out, we've got some of these thumb drives, which has got everything we've got on our book table and more. And we've got some powerful praise and worship. Anyone like to worship the Lord? Anybody? And who wants this one? I'll just bless someone here today in the name of Jesus. Can you catch? Be blessed. Oh, there you go. All right. And so, you can check those out at the book table. All right. So grab your Bibles just for a few minutes here tonight, and then we're going to pray for all the sick. Go to Matthew chapter 4. So Matthew chapter 4. It's been a wonderful week and had a great time with you guys. Love and appreciate you. Tonight's going to be different. Everyone say different. Okay, so I'm already warning you. Tonight is going to be totally different than anything you've ever seen before. So, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but we're going to do it. Okay? So, Matthew chapter 4. Lord, help me. All right. Verse 17. Matthew 4, 17. From that time, Jesus began to teach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me and I will," what? "Make you," what? "Fishers of men," right? And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, in a boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. But here it says in verse 19, he says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." You know, a fisherman, a commercial fisherman, always smells like fish. Come on, right? I mean, I met some of these guys that they live on the ocean and they live in these ships, and now they kind of glorify it with the reality shows. What is the name of that one with those guys that are way out there all the time? Something catch. What's it called? Deadliest Catch, right? So the Deadliest Catch, you know, it kind of glorifies it and stuff. But it can be dangerous too, you understand? But here we see Jesus giving these words. "Listen, follow me and I'm going to make you not taker of notes, but I'm going to make you what?" So in other words, Jesus is already thinking, before they even have come into the kingdom, Jesus is already thinking of activating them. I'll just try this church over here. Okay, before they're not even following Jesus yet, and he's already telling them, "You're going to be doing it." All right? So Jesus says, "Follow me, and I'm going to make you what?" "Oh, I'm going to take you to heaven, and we're going to fly, and we're going to sing songs of the Lord there, and we're going to strum, we're going to sit on a cloud, and it's going to be wonderful, and you're just going to receive." Is that what he said? I said, is that what he said? No. He said, "No, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Not receivers and to soak on a cloud, the praises of the Lord. But he said, "No, listen, my goal is to make you a fisher of men." Now, these men are commercial fishermen. They know fishing. Come on, right? So they know what commercial fishing is like. They know living on the sea. They know they smell like it. They're around fish all the time. They know fish patterns, like Pastor Rick was talking about. They know the patterns of the fish and stuff. Come on, right? And now listen, with what the Holy Spirit was dealing with me all day to share tonight, I never said a word to these guys in the songs they picked. All three of the songs they picked were songs of evangelism. Come on. I never told you a word. She contacted me. She contacted me and said, "We're going to do a song, I've Got a River of Life Flowing Out of Me." And I started laughing when I read the text. I was like, perfect. Because I knew what the Holy Spirit was wanting to speak to us tonight is God is wanting to light a fire under the church. Come on, right? And so, James, could you help me? Could you just help me move that over? That'd be great. And so here, Jesus is outlining something. He's trying to activate these men right from the beginning. And so, even just not even a couple years, even just barely, what's that? Oh, all right. So even just less than 2 years later, these men are already activated. These men are already activated doing the works of Jesus. And Jesus hasn't even died yet. So he is activating them and trying to move them into doing the stuff. And so here's Jesus, and he trains these men in this particular manner. Now, go over to the New Testament. I want you to go to the New Testament, to the book of, excuse me, we're in the New Testament, but in the, Jesus help me tonight, Acts chapter 9, I am here and I am awake. So Acts, the ninth chapter, says this. Okay, when you read Acts chapter 9 tonight, you're going to have a new revelation of Acts chapter 9. If you allow the Holy Spirit tonight, this will absolutely, totally change your life. All right? So Acts chapter 9, this is almost 10 years after Pentecost. And so here, Paul, or at that time he was called Saul. Saul was struck to the ground, sees a light, he's blinded by it. And he must have liked Manfred Mann and sing Blinded by the Light. And so, okay, that's older than some of you here. And so, all right, but Pastor Rick knew what I was talking about, all right? But, okay, but then you get to verse 10 and it says, and there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said, in a vision. Everyone say, in a vision. So he sees this vision. This man is just a normal guy. He's not an apostle. He's not a prophet. He's not a teacher. He's not a pastor or an evangelist. This guy is just an ordinary disciple. How many of you are an ordinary disciple? Raise your hand. Come on. Okay. So the Lord says to him, Ananias, and he says, here I am. And the Lord says to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, that he may receive his sight. And Ananias said, Lord, I've heard from many that this man, that much harm has come to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has authority to of all the chief priests to bind all that call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine, etc., etc. So he obeys the Lord. Now, look up here if you can. All right? So I'm going to call this supernatural outreach. All right? Or Bill Johnson's ministry calls it this. He calls it a spiritual treasure hunt. So number one, the very first thing that happens here, is the Holy Spirit speaks to Ananias, and he says to him, Ananias, and he says, I want you to go to the street called Straight. So the first thing is he gives them is something strange. He gives them this weird thing, this street called what? Straight. So there was a prophetic meaning behind it, right? So this is the first thing the Holy Spirit showed him, all right? In this supernatural outreach. Number one was something strange. Number two, the Holy Spirit said this. I don't want to get away from it. So here it says, go to the street called Straight, inquire the house of Judas. So now he tells him where. Okay. Number three, he says, inquire the house of Judas for one called Saul. So that was his name. Number four, he says, one called Saul. Then it goes on to say, of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And then he goes on to say, and in a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he may, what? Receive what? Ah, so what was wrong with him? Right? No, that's what I'm saying. What's wrong with him? Okay. Yeah. So number four is what's wrong. All right. So there's this church, if you don't know of it. How many of you ever heard of Bethel worship or Jesus culture? Okay. All right. Many of you do. All right. So there's this church in California that had a revival breakout in 1996. Basil Howard Brown went there and was ministering, and the Holy Ghost hit the place. And so they were in a revival for about a year. So after about a year, they were having these revival meetings and stuff. And so it was a spring cleaning day for the church. So the pastor said, Pastor Bill Johnson said, I need everyone to come to the church on Saturday and help clean the church. And so all these people came to clean the church. So as they all came to clean the church, now you have to understand, Redding, California is in the high desert. All right? So it is still technically desert. So they had all the windows open and all the doors. Have you ever heard this story? No. So all the windows and all the doors are open. And as they're cleaning, I mean, they're cleaning the stage, they're cleaning the instruments, they're cleaning the chairs, they're vacuuming, they're cleaning the ladies are cleaning the windows. And about that time, running in the church was a roadrunner. Beep, beep. A roadrunner runs into the church and runs into the church. And if you don't know what a roadrunner is, it's like a, how do you describe it? It's like a tall chicken, basically, right? Isn't that how you describe a roadrunner? It's kind of, but it's only in the high, it's usually only in the desert. It's a bird, but it's bigger than a chicken and it's much, much faster. So Pastor Bill says, get that bird out of the church, you know? So the ushers are chasing the bird. The bird runs under the pews. Then they're trying to chase it out of the pews and the bird runs on the pews. This went on for almost 20 minutes of these guys. They look like the Keystone Cops trying to chase this bird out, and they couldn't get the bird out of the church. And Pastor Bill was exhausted from helping him trying to chase the bird out. And so he just said, as a joke to everybody, it was just a joke. He didn't mean it. He just said, maybe God is trying to speak to us by sending this bird. And when he said that, the Spirit of God fell. And God said, Bill, if you don't get it out of your church, it's going to die in your church. And he said, I started weeping because I realized God's not talking about this dumb bird. God's talking about the revival. And as soon as God spoke that, the bird walked out of the church all by itself. So right after that, the associate pastor of the church began to preach on Acts chapter 9. And he preached about these four things. And he said, how many of you know that God knows who's ready to get saved? Come on, how many of you know that in Rochester? God knows who's already ready, right? Can we all agree with that? God already knows who's ready, right? So he said, so what if God knew who was ready? He knew what was wrong with them. He said, what if God knew where they are and could give us these clues, including maybe something strange about the scenario, and even threw in a fifth one. The fifth one was, what are they wearing as clues? What if the Holy Spirit would just give us supernatural clues that we could find something strange, some, you know, where they are, their name, what's wrong with them, and what they're wearing? Come on, right? They called it a spiritual treasure hunt. And this is what Jesus Culture does in every single one of their conferences or concerts. Every concert they end with, they do a spiritual treasure hunt. So they just did a big one, I think, in Chicago. And they had 15,000 people there, packed in. And he told everybody, grab a piece of paper, we're going to end it with a treasure hunt. And this is what they did. 15,000 people, they did a spiritual treasure hunt. And they began to pray, and as they began to pray, then they began to get clues from the Holy Spirit. They wrote it on the paper, and they went out together to go find the treasure. I'll just give you an example with myself. Several years ago, God began to speak to me about switching the way we did evangelism. It came through a series of dreams. It came through a series of events. And God began to speak to me about not worrying about the number of people praying, but instead the number of people having an encounter, a power encounter with God. Are you with me? Because if I could just be very blunt, many people in Indiana have prayed the prayer, yet aren't living the life. How many of you know you can pray the prayer and still not live the life? Come on, is that true? Right? So they've never been converted, though they have said the prayer. Come on, right? So how many of you think God's goal is to get the fish in the boat, not to leave the fish out in the water? Come on, right? That's God's goal. God's goal is to catch the fish, yes, but to bring it in the boat, right? Okay. So I went and God began to show me this thing about supernatural evangelism, spiritual treasure hunts, all right? So I was over in Galesburg, Illinois. I'm ministering in Galesburg, Illinois. In about February, not of this year, it was a couple years ago. And I told the people, we're going to do daytime evangelism training. Well, Indiana and Illinois, shockingly enough, in February, has something called snow. I was living in Florida. I guess it just didn't even register upstairs that you guys were going to have snow. So I'm ministering in East Galesburg in this Church of God. And as I am, all these people came out for evangelism training. And so as they all came out, I began to share with them the exact same thing I'm sharing with you right now. And I said to the people, how many of you believe God could speak to you in a picture in your mind? Everyone raised their hands. I said, okay. So I went through this whole training. I said at the end, I said, okay, we're just going to wait on the Lord. God's going to give us some clues. I gave him a piece of paper. And on the piece of paper, it just said something strange, where, their name, what's wrong with them, and what are they wearing. That's all it said. And I just said, you just pray, you be quiet, you just wait on God, you'll have a picture in your mind, and then you'll write down whatever it is that you see. So I grabbed the guitar on the stage, and I just began to quietly play. And so people split up all over the church. I told them, get out of your seats and go find a place on the floor or up here around the altar. And I said, get away from your spouse, get away from your friends, and just sit down and write whatever pops into your head, even if it sounds stupid. All right? So I tell everyone that. Now, there was a brand new believers there. These brand new believers, they weren't even 2 months old in Christ. All right? They were there. And I see the two of them. And when I started playing, they just began to write. I see them writing. I'm like, wow, God's speaking some cool stuff. So I'm sitting there playing, and as I am, I have a mini vision in my mind. I see a picture in my mind of balloons, and I see a picture of an old hardware store and of a backslidden woman. That's what I see. So I grab the paper and I write it down. Okay? Then I told everyone, okay, just everybody, just pick somebody for your group. I said, have three to no more than four people in your group. So they split up in groups of three and four, and they showed each other what was on their paper. And people began to gasp how identical their papers were. And I said, that's because the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are... So you thought you just picked that person, but it was the Spirit of God leading you to that person to show them what God was showing you. So then I said, okay, so what we're going to do is... I said, we're going to go out and we're going to find the treasure and we're going to pray for that person wherever they are, whatever's on your sheet of paper, right? So I see everyone getting in groups except for this brand new believer couple. So I walk over to them. I said, I'll go with your group. So I show them what's on my paper. Balloons. I always get weird stuff. So I get balloons. It doesn't make sense, but it's something strange. It's a street called straight, right? So I get balloons. I get, I saw depressed woman, and I see an old hardware store. So the man of the group said, he said, I saw a backslidden, he shows me his paper, it says backslidden woman, long brown hair, pretty necklace, red blouse. The wife goes, oh my gosh. She goes, look at my paper. Long brown hair, backslidden woman, come on somebody. All of these things. And the husband says, but I didn't see a hardware store. I saw an elementary school. So I said, okay. So I said, well, let's go to where there's an elementary school next to an old hardware store. Now it's snowing out. I mean, it's a full blizzard. Come on, somebody. It's a full blizzard. All of us go out into the community to go find the treasure. I mean, we had so many testimonies. It took an hour to give all the testimonies. But so we go out. I go out with these brand new believers. I mean, we're driving through this howling blizzard. The man says to me, he says, there is nothing in this town like that. But the next town over has an old hardware store right next to the elementary. So I said, well, let's go. So we drive to the next town over. As we come down the downtown, it's howling, you know, snow is just pouring down. We turn left. I can still see it in my mind. We turn left. As we turn left, guess what's in front of the hardware store? A giant bouquet of about 25 balloons blowing like this. It was like they were waving us in. Come on, somebody. And the wife goes, whoa, oh my gosh. She said, I got goosebumps everywhere. And I said, well, we're close, but we haven't found the treasure yet. So now they're excited. Now they're fired up. Woo! I mean, now they just look like a tiger, right? So we get out of the car. It's cold. It's like you know, it's like 10 degrees and we're standing outside and we're looking. Nobody, nobody, nobody. 10 minutes. Finally, I said, all right, we're going to give the Lord 2 more minutes and then that's it. I said, my Florida blood can't handle it. So we're standing outside and we're just about to go in the car and we see across the street an SUV pulls up to the gas station and a woman jumps out with long brown hair, a bright red blouse, and a pretty necklace. We tore off. We were running after poor thing. She was probably scared out of her head. You know, here's these three crazy looking people running through the snow. And we run into the gas station. As we run into the gas station, here this woman, she's the manager of the gas station. So we come up to her and I said, listen, this sounds crazy, but I said, we just came from church. And as we just came from church, I said, we were on a spiritual treasure hunt. And she kind of laughed. And I said, we think you're our treasure. And I said, we prayed and we asked God for clues of somebody who would like a blessing prayer. And she said, man, I could use that. And I show her the paper. And when she sees all three of our papers, she sees bright red blouse, yep, pretty necklace, yep, long brown hair. Then she sees hardware store balloons, you know, elementary. She's like, yep, yep, wow. And then she looks at the last ones, depressed and backslidden. And she starts crying. And she just hangs her head in shame in the gas station. And she's bawling. I mean, boo-hooing. I mean, and we started to pray over her and we're prophesying over her. As we are, people are walking into the gas station to buy something. I remember one guy walked in, he goes, whoa. He walks right back out. I don't want to get any part of this, you know. But we're praying and these two people, they're prophesying over this woman and stuff. I mean, she's got snot running, her crying makeup everywhere. And she looks up after 5 minutes and she goes, I feel so much better. But she says, can I tell you something? And I said, what? She said, I live here. But she said, my best friend lives in the next town over. And she said, my best friend has been on me all week to try to go with her to go to church where there's this evangelist from Florida there. How many of you think we found the treasure? Come on, somebody. I mean, I don't know how much clearer you can get. I mean, that's pretty well it. Come on, right? So what did we do? This was supernatural outreach. I mean, God knows. Everyone say God knows. How many of you think God knows who that person is that's absolutely ready right now tonight? Come on. We've done this all over America, all over different parts of the world. We've done these spiritual treasure hunts and we've taken people out and stuff and we went and we did an outreach like this in Miami and in a Bible school. And as we did this in the Bible school, there was this Bible school in Miami at Tommy's place there. And as we did, I told the people, I said, go on out, let's go for it. And so these kids, I say kids, they were whatever, 19, 20 years old in the Bible school. And they went on out and they went out till late. I mean, we got done, the service got done to like 11:30, but they were out till late. I mean, Miami wakes up about midnight. So they're in the middle of the streets of Miami, and the one guy said, I felt that we were supposed to go to Walgreens, that we're going to have a supernatural encounter at Walgreens, because he had on his paper, Walgreens, famous people. That's what it said, Walgreens, famous people, that's all they got. So they walk into Walgreens, as they come around the corner, there, four members of the Miami Heat come walking right up and bumped right into them, led by Shaquille O'Neal. And this little 5'9" guy looks up to 7'4" Shaquille O'Neal and says, Mr. O'Neal, God Almighty sent us here tonight on a spiritual treasure hunt, and you're our treasure. Come on, somebody. Amen. They prayed over him right in the middle of the Walgreens, and they got several of the guys, and all, four members of the Miami Heat. They're laying hands on these guys. I mean, they're probably laying hands like this, but come on. Amen. I mean, what if God gives you the clue? What if God says, this is the way, you know, Walmart, aisle 11. Come on, somebody. How do I know? We do it all the time. God gives us spiritual clues like this. We do this. And we take people out with these spiritual treasure hunts. And we've taken them all over the place. We've taken them in the wintertime. We've taken them in the summertime. We've taken them in malls. We've taken them in shops and stores and in all kinds of supernatural places. I'm telling you. Come on. Where just somebody was willing to just by faith, just follow the breadcrumbs. What was that, Hansel and Gretel? God gives us spiritual crumbs. Come on, he throws the crumbs out and says, come on, knucklehead, just follow the breadcrumb. I mean, you don't even have to be smart. Just follow them. Just follow what I'm laying in front of you. Come on, amen? And he throws these clues out. Come on, how many of you have ever been thinking of somebody and then you saw them? Raise your hand. Or they called you or something like that. What was that? That was a spiritual clue God was giving you. How many of you, you know, you saw him in a restaurant or you saw him in the store or something? Anybody? Right? Or something like that. They popped up on Facebook or something like that. What is that? It's supernatural outreach. It's supernatural. Everyone say supernatural. It's where God begins to give us these supernatural clues. Where people that are in worse shape than you are. You may say, man, I came tonight to get healed. I thought I would hear something about healing. This is about healing. But it's not about healing you. It's about healing through you. Come on, right? And so when we get our eyes off of ourselves, it's easier to begin to start to see healing. Come on, right? You know, I talk a lot about Smith Wigglesworth. You know, Smith Wigglesworth went and he needed a miracle. He needed to be healed of, what was that? Kidney stones. And he just started to attack sickness. He just started to pray for more sick people than he had ever prayed for before. Come on. And the Lord healed him in the midst of it. I said, the Lord healed him in the midst of it. Listen, give and what will happen? See, it's not just money. This is everything. If you need healing, man, give healing. I said, if you need healing, give healing. I've had people say, how can I give healing if I'm not healed? Well, how can you evangelize if you're not perfect? Come on, somebody. So use the same psychology. You understand? You don't say, well, I can never witness until I get to heaven. Because there I'll be perfect. Come on, right? How many of you aren't perfect yet? Raise your hand. Anyone, you're just completely not fully mature? Okay, amen. So that's all, everyone in the room. Does that mean we can't evangelize yet? No, right? The same thing is true regarding ministering healing. Is don't wait till you're perfect. Don't wait till you're healed to heal the sick. But begin to get your eyes off yourself. Tell your neighbor, say, get your eyes off yourself. Let me say this about divine healing. When you start thinking about ministering healing to other people, it's hard to be depressed. Whew, I'm going to say it again. When you are thinking about ministering healing to someone else, it's difficult to be depressed. The only way you can get depressed is when you think about one person. Who is that person? Yourself. So when you think about yourself, all of a sudden you get depressed. Come on, right? But when you're thinking of other people, now all of a sudden you can't get depressed. Why? Because you're thinking of ministering to those people. You're thinking of blessing those people. Come on, right? Amen. And so tonight, I know this, I already told you, it's going to be different. Come on, tell someone, say it's going to be different. Okay, so don't get into a big hurry tonight, but we're going to pray for people and stuff, and we're going to pray for impartation on your life, and God's going to release you, and God's going to give you these different things. But we're all prophetic in this room. Everybody is. You don't have to be a prophet to be prophetic. All you need to do is to hear God's voice. How many of you can hear God's voice? Raise your hand. Well, you're qualified for supernatural outreach. Come on, right? You hear God's voice. I mean, they heard God's voice to do the songs they did. They had no idea what I was preaching on tonight. I shared with Pastor Rick and Terry. They were the only two in the whole place that knew what I was going to share. Come on, amen. So, would you help me on the keyboard? Mark, that'd be great. So, Father, tonight, we thank you that you are a good God and you want to heal people tonight. There are people here tonight that really need a miracle, that have tremendous pain in their bodies or have sickness and disease. And Lord, we thank you tonight that even now you're ministering healing to them all over this house. You're ministering healing to them, every single one of them. even as they're sitting here right now in the presence of God. Just some strings, bro. Holy Spirit, right now, I just thank you right now that you're touching people, and people with high blood pressure are being healed. Come on, just stretch your hands toward heaven right now. The Lord said that to me. You have high blood pressure tonight? Listen, God is reducing it right now. Holy Spirit is ministering that to you right now. Some of you are struggling with cancer. Some of you are struggling with arthritis. And the Holy Spirit's already ministering to that right now. Even before we lay hands on you. Some of you are struggling with scoliosis, liver and kidney problems. The Spirit of God is touching you. Thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Just stretch your hands right now. Just let Holy Spirit touch you. Even before we lay hands on you. Sometimes I think we get in such a hurry. Thank you, Jesus, tonight, for your Holy Spirit that's touching people right now, right through their bodies. Pain is going. Discouragement's going. Some of you have been struggling with depression and discouragement. Just cast it on the Lord right now. It's leaving you right now. Just be set free. Of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, if you need physical healing, I want you to just stand to your feet. Come on down to the front. Just jump on the white line if you would. Every pain, every disease. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Some people get goofed up with weird doctrines. You don't have the pains in your body because of sin, okay? James said, If you pray the prayer of faith, the Lord will not only heal you, but He'll forgive you of sin. So it can't be because of that. So don't get under that condemnation, okay? Don't let condemnation or discouragement and stuff. But right now, just put your hand on it if you're able to. Right now, I just speak to every ailment, every bit of pain to leave you tonight by God's grace. In the name of Jesus, we just take authority over it. Lord, we thank you for creative miracles in people's feet, in eardrums, in shoulder sockets, in hip joints right now. We say in the name of Jesus. Set you free right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ushers, just stay real close. Be healed now tonight. Be healed tonight.
tonight, brother. We just set you free right now. All the swelling and pain right now in your body. As soon as I touched you, I just felt the Lord touching you right there. Healing and release it. Be healed now. Set you free. 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 Do what you couldn't do just by faith. Thank you, Lord, right now for healing her. Right now, Commander, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be healed, be whole right now. The grace of God. Be healed and whole. Be healed and whole. Be healed and whole. Be healed and whole. Be healed and whole right now. Set you free right now by the grace of Almighty God. All pains and weaknesses go. Right now, all pains and weakness go. Karanamaso. In the name of Jesus, all the pain, leave her right now. Set her free right now by God's grace. Be healed right now. All that pain right now, I set you free right now. Be healed 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 right now. I set you free. Command you be healed right now. In the name of Jesus, be healed right now. Right now. In Jesus' name, be healed. Speak healing to your body. Your hips, your back, your shoulders, your joints right now. From you in the name of Jesus, all those difficulties right now in Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed by the grace of God. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Speak healing to you now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Just begin to do what you could not do. Just begin to move. Just begin to do something. The Lord's touching people. We command you be healed in the name of Jesus, brother. I just speak healing to you right now, to your hips and your back, your knees and your legs right now. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, right now. Don't leave. Just give me a few more minutes at the end here. Just move it. If it's your shoulder, move your shoulder. If it's your knee, move your knee. If it's your back, bend over and touch, you know. If it's your neck, move your neck. If there's a pain in your stomach or whatever, push on it. See, just begin to test it by faith. Just do it by faith. Just by faith. The natural first, then the spiritual. It's the natural first and then the spiritual. Thank you, Lord, right now. Natural first. Natural first. God, we thank you right now. Natural first. Natural first always releases the spiritual. Thank you, Jesus, right now for a creative miracle. Blessed be the Lord tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise here tonight. God, we thank you for it tonight. Lord, we worship you. Just give me another 5 minutes. Just sit down just for a second. Just grab your seats. You can sit wherever. Just 5 minutes. Give me 5 more minutes, and I want to share something with you. And if you'll catch this, it'll totally change your life. All right? Ushers, could I get 4 or 5 usher guys to help me? Just hand these out. Yeah. Just hand them out to everybody. I'll take them. Yeah. All right? So everyone just take one. All right? And find a piece of paper. Find a pen. All right? Are you okay, Mark? Can you keep going? All right. Everyone grab a pen. Grab your paper. All right, you can look through here. What we did was we put it all together for you. Exactly what I shared tonight. Exactly. You can get this anytime you want on my website. The Spiritual Treasure Hunt. All right? Exactly everything I told you. Everything I told you. All the way from the beginning to the end. Now, here's what you're going to do. Are you ready? Everyone got your paper? Who does not have a paper yet? Still missing one right behind you, Brad. All right, so grab a piece of paper. Has everyone got a pen? You can't, your wife can't have your pen, your husband can't have, you have to have your own pen because we're going to do something, all right? You ready? Everyone got a pen or a pencil? All right, jump to your feet. Everyone stand to your feet. Now, go to a part of the room by yourself, away from everybody. I don't care, in the altar, move away. Don't sit by anybody. All right? At least two or three people away. All right? Get away from everybody. We're going to take 5 minutes and we're going to pray and God's going to show you something. So just split up, split up, split up, split up, split up, split up. Some of you are still sitting together. Split up, split up, split up in the back. All right? Just everyone grab one. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to pray 1 second. And then the whatever picture comes to mind or thought, you're going to write it down, even if it sounds stupid. Okay? All right? So close your eyes. Father, I pray right now for every person in the name of Jesus. Give them spiritual clues right now. Give them spiritual clues. We're going to take 30 seconds and we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. And then we're just going to wait on the Lord. And you're going to write down whatever pops into your head. All right? Come on, just pray in the Spirit. Shite bamu. Come on, just pray out loud in your heavenly language. Come on, just 10 more seconds. Come on, just pray in your heavenly language. Jesus, samamenio soko to koloba, benji sistiti tita sastata tatamalaba de bakata tia soko to kolova namarasa. Zing zinio kola mambo, jengibito kore baspa, jindabasa. Now, just wait on the Lord, and whatever picture pops in your head or thought, one of those five categories, write it down. First thought. write it down. The first thing that pops in your head when you look at it might be their name or what's wrong with them. Might be their hearing or get a couple things, that's all right. Just don't overthink it. Just write it down. The first thing that pops in your head. Write it down. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Jump to your feet, and I want you to get in small groups of three or four. Just show them what God's shown you, and you'll be shocked. Just find three people, three or four. All right? Just jump in any group you want. Just pick your own group. Three or four people in your group. There's a couple people in the back looking for three or four. Now just show, go ahead and show them. Just show them. All right, just real quick, let me get everyone's attention or you won't know what to do. All right, so everyone just look up here. Just stay with your group. Just stay right with your group, okay? I'm with you, gals. All right? So here's what I want you to do. 5 minutes. Everyone say 5 minutes. All I want you to do, the night is young. It's not even 9 o'clock yet. So we're going to wrap it up unless you have something else, Pastor Rick. And we're going to just go do this for 5 to 10 minutes, and we're going to go find the treasure. Okay? So to make it easy on you, here, don't worry about a location. Just pick one of these, you know, like a fast food joint or a gas station somewhere or Kroger's or something like that. Just pick any one of those places and see if you can't find that person there and pray for them in the name of Jesus, okay? So, Lord, tonight we pray for powerful fruit. We pray for evangelism fruit, people to be saved, people to be healed, delivered, become disciples of Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. Amen. So we're just going to go for it. You guys can be released, blessed. You have anything else? Okay. And so, like I said, just give the Lord 10 minutes tonight. Just 10 more minutes. Give Him 10 minutes of your night, and you'll be shocked. Some of you are going to have some incredible Book of Acts encounters, all right? We love you guys. Bless you.